thinking about Brother Gordon Humphreys. I think most of us probably know him. He has a reoccurring thought in his messages. He says the Lord can help us. And I want to ask here this morning, how many of you believe that the Lord can help you? I believe He can, but I believe it's more than He can. I believe He wants to. I think maybe there's things that hinders Him from being able to really get to people what He wants to get to them. In my mind, I think of a great storehouse of unused things. Things that God wants to give to people that they don't ever get. You think of what all the Lord wants to do for you, but think of what the Lord wants to do to all the people of our country, the people that are around us. You know anybody today that needs help? Well, why don't they get it then? Because God's got a great storehouse of help. I think it's backing up of the generations that don't use it. I think that there is a great... God wants to give us these things. And I remember, many of you have probably heard me tell this, but I was in my front yard one day. I was working on my truck. And I looked across the street there, kind of diagonal down, and I saw my neighbor. He was an elderly man, and he had an appliance, and him and his son, young son, was endeavoring to get that appliance up a couple flights of stairs up to the top apartment that he has over there above a garage. And they was endeavoring to get that up there, and they had got it up the first little flight and had it two or three steps up the second rung, and they were stuck right there. And it looked like a wash machine to me, or a range or something. Couldn't see it real close. It was a ways off. And I saw them there, and they were stuck. And my first thought was, of course, probably what most people's thoughts would have been, was I need to go over and help them. And I thought, I didn't know them real well, but I thought, well, I'll go over. There'll be a perfect opportunity. I'll go over and help them get that up there. And I took a few steps that way, and I feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, don't do it. And that was a strange command to me, to think of don't do it. But I obeyed it. I said, well, maybe it shouldn't. And I went back to fooling around on there, and I looked over there in a little while, and they hadn't made any progress. They was kind of holding it to keep it from coming back, it looked like, but they hadn't got anywhere with it. And I thought, well, I'll go over there and help them. Don't do it. Don't you do it. And that was strange. I thought, well, they're in need. And I know I can help them. And I thought, I'll go over. And I thought about the third time, I'll go over and help them. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. And I thought, well, if I ain't supposed to do it, and I was working, and I'd look over there, nowhere. Well, I saw this unfold. There was one of my neighbors. He's a young, strong-looking man. He comes down there in his truck. He's got a blue truck, and it had a flatbed on it, and he come down through there. And I watched him drive down through there, and I saw him look over, back, and look over. And he hit his brakes and backed up to the side, and opened the door, left his truck running. Opened the door, ran over there, and I couldn't hear it, it was too far away, but he ran over, and I saw him getting down. He was already there, getting down, going to put the shoulder to it. And then he he stood straight up and he walked away. Went over and got his truck and drove down the road. And I said, there they was. There they was. Stuck the same place they was stuck before he come. And I saw that and I thought, did I see what I thought I did, Lord? You saw what you thought you did. There was help. The strong man. The one that can make a difference. That can help. What keeps us, what keeps people from getting help? And that's my message this morning. It's been kind of burning on my heart. How do we get help? You know, the first thing to get help is the recognition that you need help. Until I come to the place that I say, I need help. Lord, I need help. I can't do it by myself. Now, we got a good exhortation here this morning already. Folks, and I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things that you can do because God made you to do it. That's just a fact. God gives you strength to do it, and you can do it. And if God gives you strength, and He gives the world strength to be able to rise in the morning, and many people use that strength to do things God would never have them to do. But you can do it because God made you to be able to do it. You can think and you can function and you can do things. And it's all because God made you to do it and you can do it. But there's things that you can't do. And no matter what you think you can do, you'll run into your limit of what you can do before very long. And to be able to really get help, one of the first thing we need to do is to be able to come to the place to say, I need help. And I'm going to tell you, I told somebody the other day, actually it was Sister Mary Lawson, I told her, I said, the older I get, the more I realize how much I need God to help me.
That's true.
I used to think I had a very solid thinking mind. You know what I found out, Brother Carl? Don't have a very solid thinking mind anymore. I'll start to saying things and I've learned, the Lord help me, I'm glad I don't argue about a lot of things anymore, and I think I know, because you know why I don't say, well, I know that? Because I find out I don't know that. Well, that did so happen. Oh, that didn't happen. Yes, we was there. Oh, no, that's right. We wasn't there. I run into it all the time, and I'm needing more and more the Lord to help me. And I realize in my endeavors, I'm going to leave that thing sitting halfway up on the stairs and I'm going to neglect the one that comes and it can help me accomplish it if I'm very careful and I'm not willing to humble myself down. Now, this is the beginning service of the prayer tent meeting, and no matter what else happens in this meeting, you're here.
That's right.
Now, if those invited don't come, they don't come. They may leave their appliance on the stairs. You don't have to leave yours there. You don't have to have a life partly done or halfway done. But the first thing we got to realize is, before the Lord, it's real good to tell the Lord this too. Lord, I can't manage my own life. Lord, I don't have the strength to do what I need to do. Not only that, this might, you bear with me now. People don't like this, maybe. But you ain't smart enough to do it either. You're not smart enough to do it. You don't know what's best in your life. You don't know how to do the right things in your life. You just really don't know. And we need the Lord to help us. And so I come before the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, Thy way is best.
Amen.
The song says, the Lord's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Don't have to know it all. Lord, Your way is best, and I'm not going to compete with You. I'm not going to fight with You. Lord, I am a human that needs God in my life. I need You to give me the strength physical strength to live life. I need to give you to give me a sound mind, a humble mind, a mind to be able to do what I need to do. I need you to help me to be able to have the grace to get along with people that don't want to get along with me, because I don't have it in myself. So I need help. Over in the familiar scripture in 2 Kings, I want to start in the first verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Kings. It says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of king of Syria, now listen to this, was a great man with his master. Okay, there's things that the Lord blesses with in life. He allows people to accomplish things. Naaman was a great man. Plus or minus. Somebody help me here. Plus or minus. He was a great man. Right, Brother Carl? It's a plus to be a great man. He's done things. He's given himself to things. He's no doubt been a faithful man, could be trusted. That's a plus. He was a great man. But that can be a negative to you too. He was a great man with his master. It says it honorable. That plus or minus, Brother Carl, to be honorable. It's a plus. We ought to be honorable. He was a great man, an honorable man. This man had character. I'm going to tell you, you don't get there by not doing something right.
That's right.
This man done some things right, didn't he? He was honorable. And his master thought well of him. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor, Brother Carl, plus or minus.
Right.
That's a plus. He's a fighter. He's willing to sweat blood. He's willing to give his life for it. Integrity. This was an honorable, a notable man.
Yeah.
Probably had a lot of things in his corner, didn't he? Had it going right for him in his life. But he was a leper. Plus or minus. Plus, huh? Okay, we got a minus here now. I wanted to bring that out that way because I wanted to say this. We don't have the world by the tail.
That's right.
We don't own our own destiny. This man done everything, was an honorable man, a man of integrity, a man of valor. He was a well thought of man, and he got leprosy. Now I want to tell you, what was he going to do with leprosy?
Nothing.
He needed help. You're right, brother. He was going to die. That's what he was going, and he was going to suffer an awful death getting there, an awful life getting to the point of death. They saw it. They knew it. It was very prominent in these days, leprosy was. It was a disease that attacked the body, and it took the nerves out of the, feeling out of the nerves, and their hands would literally, fingers would rot off, and they had no feeling. They could hurt themselves and do anything. They didn't have feeling, and it just rotted away. This man, of all that he had that in his life. And I want to say, we all are either there or going to get there. We need to recognize, no matter what our achievements, accomplishments, we need God.
Amen.
We need God today. We need Him more than we've ever needed Him before. You may say, I'm healthy, or I've lived for God for 40 years, 50 years, I've been preaching the gospel. Whatever your credentials will be, there's going to be something that's going to be bigger than you.
Amen.
And this man got to the bigger than you. Do you know that he was a great man to his master, the king? Now, I'm imagining this, that if Naaman would have run out of pocket change, he could have went to the king and said, King, I'm broke.
He got it.
He'd have got it, wouldn't he? Why? Because he was a faithful servant. And if he had come and said, oh, King, there are some people that's rose up in the kingdom that's against me. What do you think that king would have done? He'd have helped him. What do you think he said when he went to the king and said, I got leprosy? Who do you think I am? God is the only one that can really help us.
Amen.
When my oldest daughter was just a wee little girl, I came home one day and her mother told me that she had a balloon and her balloon popped on her. And my wife was trying to comfort her and all with that. But my little girl told my wife, said, oh, Mommy, it's okay. Daddy will fix it when he comes home. And my wife told me that when I got there. And she had had all these toys. The arm would come out of the socket on her doll baby. And I'd put it back on. And she'd have a wheel come off of a toy and I'd put it back on. I'd wire and I'd tape and I'd done all that to keep her little toys done. I even rewound one of her little wine toys and got it to work and all that. And so she had a great confidence in me. Oh, that's all right. Daddy will fix it when he got home. And I'm going to tell you, when she told me that, I got to thinking. And I got to feeling littler and littler and littler. Because I started thinking about that idea, a balloon. Can you glue it? Tape it? Wire it? Sew it? You can't knit it? What are you going to do with a balloon? Brother, I know Brother Herschel's a fix-it man. Brother Herschel, how do you fix one? How do you fix a balloon? You know, the Lord spoke to me at that time and said, you'll hit your limits. I never hit mine. I remember that being in my mind, folks. There are going to be places I can't help you. You can't help you. Your pastor can't help you. That's right. The people around you can't help you. The saints can't help you. But we know the one that can. We know the one that can. Now here's old Naaman, a great man. No doubt about it, a great man. Something happened to his life that completely threw him. I imagine that he had his life all wound up and had control of it in almost every area of his life. But he fell all of a sudden run into something that he couldn't do anything with. You can't heal yourself.
That's right.
How many people never get what God has stored, waiting from the foundation of the earth, waiting for them, their package of help, of grace, of blessing. I don't know what we'll run into. We had a very emotional, a very touching prayer request of a young lady that is fighting it, fighting death. You know there's help?
That's right.
I believe it. I've seen it. There is help. And you say, well, what hope can there be if all you're going to do is wither and die? Oh, there's hope. There's help. There's something divine that's bigger. It's bigger. It's over top of. It overshadows. The world is pale in comparison to Christ in you. I'm telling you. I've experienced it. I know it to be true. I long for that woman. When he said it, I said, oh Lord, if she can only get the thing that makes a difference.
Amen.
Lord, help us. Oh, if she would open. It's there for her. God wants to give it, and He can. But there's a door not open. There has to be open. A willingness to say, Lord, help me. There was a Pharisee that went before the Lord in prayer. And there was also a publican. And the Pharisee says, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are. Why, even as this guy over here, I pray, I fast 3 times a week, and I give alms of all that I've got. You know what that man was doing? You study it out. He was making God a debtor to him. You owe me, Lord, but of my great goodness and all that I do. I'm going to tell you something today. God don't owe you anything.
That's right.
He don't owe you anything. We owe Him.
Amen.
The other man standing off realizing the debt that he owed, said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." The ability for this man to open the door of his heart and say, "I need help. I'm wretched. I'm miserable. And I need God. I need something more in my life than I've got." Naaman, it said, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." He must be trying to get a fight out of me, because everybody knows that we don't have life and death in our hands.
That's right.
Sending a man to me and making me responsible. And here he comes, folks, with these talents of silver and his gold coins and his raiments and all of these things that he's coming. I don't know how to say this, but God don't need those things.
That's right.
That's not what God wants for us to get help from Him.
Amen.
God does not want that. God wants us to open the door.
Amen.
With the recognition that I am a human being and I'm weak and feeble and I cannot manage. I don't know, as Brother Carl said. Brother Carl, I relate with you. You ask my family how many times we're going down the road the wrong way these days. I just forget to turn. I just keep going. I can get within a mile of my exit and forget it for the next 15 minutes. Oh no, my exit was back there. I'm going the wrong way. And I'll have to say, "Lord, help me." I'll say it. "Lord, help me. I can't get from the house to Prague. Unless you help me, I'll end up somewhere else. My mind will get off. I need help from the Lord." Here is the situation. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Get the picture of a mighty man. Get the picture of a man that was used to honor. He was elevated. He was important. He came with his horses and his chariots in great show and pomp. I think the man had some faith. I think he believed that if he done it, he could, that there would be some great thing happen to him, that he would be able to get what he needed. And so he goes, and all this idea, And he go to Elisha, and Elisha sends a messenger out. A messenger. What was the messenger's name? What kind of honor did he have? How important was this fella that he's coming out there? And he comes out and says, the master says, go dip yourself 7 times in Jordan, and you'll get what you need. It says, but Naaman was wroth and went away. And said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand. And I want to catch that thought. Behold, I thought. Behold, I thought. This is what I thought. This is the way I wanted it to be done. This is the way it ought to be done. Do you know how much we elevate our thinking as humans? I thought this. I thought that. I'm going to tell you, when you're working with me, I think it's fine for you to say to me, I thought. But when it comes to God, we need to put off the I thought.
Amen.
Lord, but I thought. Lord, you did this, but I thought. Well, I thought it ought to be this. I thought it wouldn't be that. You know, one of the things that hurts us the most in this time is our human reasoning.
That's right.
Do you know how many people will take and reason and I thought with the Scriptures?
Right.
I'm reasoning with it. I thought I ought to do. Well, this is an old book and we're in a modern time. So I think that it needs revised. I think that what applies in the old day, of course, don't apply now. I thought. You want to get help from the Lord? Do away with the I thoughts. And start saying, I obey. Lord, I obey.
Amen.
I want to do what you tell me to do. Do you know how... Think about this. Think how silly it is to argue with God. Do you really know what that's like? Do you know when Job started making his argument, if you will, for the things? Job, or the Lord kind of, in my mind, it's the way it plays out, he kind of stops him and says, Job, where was you at when I put the whales in the ocean? Where was you at when I hung the stars in their place? Oh, okay. Don't remember nothing about those stars, hardly. Where was you at when I made the beast of the field that you know? Where was you at when I created this universe, Job? Oh. Puts it kind of in a perspective here now, don't it? Oh, okay, Job. You tell me then how the atom works. Job, how far is it from here to heaven, Job? Hey, Job, how far off's the sun or the stars? Hey, Job, how far does it go? How deep's the ocean, Job? Is there any life down there? It's foolish.
That's right.
It's foolish. We're human. And oh, how much I recognize that I need God. And God was so willing for Naaman to help him. God's going to help us what's really helped to us. And He wanted to help him too. And it didn't take something great, folks.
Right.
All it done was Naaman being willing to open his heart to God.
Right.
And saying, yes, Lord. Yes, I will. Yes, Lord, I will. That's all he needed to do.
Right.
Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I think a lot of things. I think a lot of things. But I won't put much on it. That's the way it looks like it'd play out. I've heard people pray, and maybe I've done it myself. Lord, it looks to me like if you do this, this, and this, it'd sure make them to learn. Never comes to pass. Why? You know the best prayer is saying, not my way, Lord. Not my own, but thy way be done. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? You know what it's like to me? And I hope you all ain't offended by this. But up home, the waters run clear. Those mountain streams, you can stand over them and they might be 8 feet deep. And when the right light, you can count the minnows in the bottom of the pool. Clear water. Clean. You can drink it. It's clean. Out here in Oklahoma, most of your water runs muddy. It runs dirty. I just crossed it. Maybe it's rain. But I just crossed down here and looked at the water and I looked at that and I thought, oh, muddy water running. Seems like everything's old muddy water out here. The Jordan River runs dirty. The rivers of Damascus run clean. Well, it looks to me like all I'm going to do is get water out of getting the best water. None of this makes sense. None of this makes sense. To my mind, to my way of thinking. Why am I going to do something like that? Come all this way and I've been humiliated. Brought all this money and going to pay for it. And I'm somebody important and I've been humiliated. The man wouldn't even come out. I've never met him. Can't go back and say I met the great prophet Elisha. Never can't even say I met him. You know why? It ain't about meeting the prophet. It ain't about shaking hands with the preacher. There's too many people think that if I pay the preacher, somehow I'm going to get the blessing on my life. We are full of a religious world that worship in these big churches, great big churches, paying the preacher, living any way they want to, won the favor of God on them. Don't work that way.
Amen.
We need to meet God. So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Lord help us. Always looking for the spectacular, the lightning and the thunder. And the big event. And the big something to happen. You know where you meet God at? You meet Him in the cave. You meet Him in the affliction. You meet Him in the solitude. You meet God in the simplistic. He's there to help when you humble yourself down.
A still small
voice. My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do a great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? I wonder if he'd have said, oh, great man Naaman, if you'll go and slay 1,000 of the enemy, you'll be healed. He'd have girded his sword on.
Sure.
If they'd have said, if you can climb the tallest mountain and pluck the feather from the eagle and bring it to us, You'll surely be healed. All he just said, get my ropes. I'm going to the mountain. But he simply said, go wash and be clean. Go wash and be clean. Be obedient. Humble yourself down. Oh, as I meditated on this thought, I just felt like the Lord flooded me with this idea. You want help from God? Humble yourself. Humble yourself down before God, and God will help you. Then went he down I wonder what it took. I wonder what it took. He's going to leave in a rage. I wonder what it took. Can you picture it? Oh! What did I do? I've stood tall before these servants and the men around me. What am I going to do? You know, people get in that place so many times. The blessing of the Lord is on a man that comes and says, Would you people listen to me a little bit? I've done some things that's wrong and I want you to forgive me.
Amen.
And pray for me. Do you know how many people are that close to helping their souls? That go away in a rage. And it was the simplest thing, not the complex. Oh, I don't know. Sometimes the hardest thing to do for this old flesh is to say, I'm wrong. I need to humble myself. I'm nothing. I'm only what God makes me to be. And I need God to help me. He says here that then went he down and dipped himself seven times. I wonder what that was like. He went down and dipped himself in the Jordan and he comes out. One. Down he goes again. Two. You know, if you could run in here real quick and done and jumped up back up out of there, Lord's got away. And O number seven comes in and gets you again. You know what it means? Completeness. You're going to do it all the way. You're going to do it all the way. Nothing undone, folks. Open the door. Humble yourself before God. Pour it all out before God. One time, two times. Here he goes. Seems like the humility had to be complete, didn't it? It really did. It had to be complete. Comes out of there again. I don't know what he looked like. But now his hair's all disheveled. He's dripping with water. I imagine he was a sight. Everybody else is standing there dry. He's the show now. But he ain't the show he wanted to be. A water dripping off of him. You know what kind of water? Jordan's water.
Dirty.
Muddy water. Probably had mud running down. Yeah, here we go again. You willing to get down? It says he dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Folks, wasn't that simple? Wasn't it simple to something nobody else could do or grant for him? And what God had asked him to do wasn't, and it never will be beyond you, folks. God is never going to tell you something to do beyond you. It was simple little thing that opened the door to God's blessings. Over in Psalms 51, the 51st Psalms. It says in the 16th verse, For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Listen, the sacrifice of God, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. You hear what that says? You want to give God something? You want to do something for God? It isn't in the great monies and the wealth and your abilities and what you can do. You know what opens the door? A broken heart. A broken and a contrite spirit. Broken before the Lord. Needing the Lord. Realizing what God is and what we are. There's where the help comes, folks. And you need something in your life. I'm going to say tonight, today, you need something in your life. Whether you recognize it or not. You need God. And there's a way of getting a hold of God. In my experience, many times, I've got into a place, and many times I didn't recognize it, it didn't come quickly, but there come a time that I began to become broken. Broken. I'm going to testify to you of the goodness of God. Never one time that I ever got broken and contrite before the Lord, that He didn't meet me.
Amen.
And I always came away from that season of prayer different than what I bowed down there at. Because God is faithful.
That's right.
There's another scripture over in the 10th chapter of Mark. It says in the 46th verse, 10th chapter of Mark, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me."
Yes.
Humiliating? Yeah. In need? Yeah. Did he care? No. There comes a time that all that is removed away. See, you can throw some money in the cup of a blind man. I could think. You could encourage him to be content with his lot. I could do that. I could get him by the hand and lead him where he wouldn't know to go himself. But I can't heal blindness. No doubt, the man was born blind, and he lived that way and learned to cope. No doubt he stumbled his way through life, maybe had a stick and felt his way through. Couldn't work, couldn't support himself. So he was at mercy of the people that was around him to help him and be pitiful. But something happened to this blind man. He heard that one was coming. He heard about the one that was coming. This was Jesus of Nazareth coming. And something responded inside this man that he didn't care. I am a needy person. I have need in my life. Lord, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they said around him, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. I wonder how many of them was blind that said that. How many of these people that said you be quiet you think was blind? How many of them do you think was there beside him because they had never walked? It's easy. It's really easy to say, oh, you can do it. It's really easy to say, oh, you can make it. It'll be all right. Don't make a fuss. Have a little dignity about yourself. Don't show yourself like this. I'm going to tell you, folks, there comes a time. There comes a time in life that we'll shuck off a lot of things.
Amen.
And this man was desperate. Lord, oh, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. People in the world, folks, perhaps we do too. We put things in our life that's a facade. It's make-believe. It's the thing that keeps us. People do it with their habits. People will use nicotine to sustain themselves as their helper. It's their helper to cope with life. Calms their nerves. Gives them strength of mind to do what they need to do. Other people do it with a lot of other things. But I'm going to tell you, none of those things are going to be able to help you in the end. I've told this story many times, but it's really touching to me because I saw it so firsthand. There was a man that I met in Charlottesville, Virginia, in the hospital. And the nurses that was there wanted me to meet him because he was from West Virginia and he reminded them of me. And back and forth. He's a real jovial man. He liked to do a lot of stuff. He loved to fish. His passion. was to be in his boat on the lake. That was his passion. That's what he lived for. He worked in a bank. He was a banker. But his weekends, his spare times, he loved to fish. And he did not know God. And I talked to him the first time, and we talked, and we had a good time. We laughed, we talked, we told stories. And then I asked him about his condition, and he said, "Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. I beat it before, I'll beat it again." That was the only expression he made in the first thing. Never got to say, "I'll pray for you." Never, nothing. We just visited. But there come a time. I remember going in there. They told me he was getting worse and worse. And I remember praying, begging the Lord to help me to be able to make a difference in this man's life. To be able to bring him to the Lord. You know, I really meant that when I prayed it. But there's other factors, folks, involved. I can't open his door for him. That's the best chance we have to pray till the Lord can do it. But I can't do it. I remember the day that the halls around his room, his wife, the nurses, I remember when there was a lot of sobbing. Went up there and there was people sobbing all outside his room. I asked what was happening. They said, "Well, the doctor had to tell him. He's just got a matter of hours, days, just very little time left. Nothing else they could do." Oh, I prayed. Went in to visit him. And he laid there. Looking up at the... He would not talk to me. He wouldn't answer me. He had tears in his eyes, but it was almost an anger, it looked like, in his face. And he looked up at heaven. He didn't beat it again, folks. He didn't beat it. And I want you to know something. That God that he had made of the fishing experience to help him in life failed him. You can't call on that fishing God for support now. It won't help you. What good would one more cast do him? What good would one more boat ride do him? And he knew it. And he laid there and it failed. But I'm going to tell you something. God never fails his people. I've seen the saints die. I've been at their bedsides. I've seen them die. And it ain't dying like that. He'll hold your hand. He'll be there to give you a grace that you don't know is possible at the end of it. But how do you get to that kind of place? I'm going to tell you how you get there. By a broken heart and a broken and a contrite spirit and a spirit that says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The door is wide open. And I'm willing to shout it before the world. I need help." As far as I know, I'm in fairly good health. But I see things changing. Can change at any time. Can change at any time. I had a cousin. They buried him just 2 weeks ago. 46 years old. He died quickly. Been burying my uncles left and right lately. They're getting older and they're being just buried. One of them, that I didn't even know he was that sick. They said that he liked to lay down and he'd lay down across his bed when he wasn't feeling good, and it'd usually help him. He'd just lay down across his bed. He wouldn't take his boots off. He'd just lay down across the bed and lay down for a while. Well, he went and laid down. Nobody seen him the rest of the day. One went in and checked on him the next day, and there he laid. Just the way he'd laid across the bed many, many, many times. Dead. All the things. Oh, Lord, help us. I think for those people, that there was an unused package in heaven of grace and help that would have made all the difference to their lives. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Brother Carl, is that a good thing or a bad? Cry out to the Lord. Wonderful. Oh, it's a good thing. Is it a good thing or bad to be broken? Is it a good bad man to get in that? A sister once told me, she came to me, oh, she was in a space, and she told me, she said, oh, she said, Brother Marty, she said, I don't have a place to stay tonight, I don't have a place to live, I don't have anything but God. And I said, well, I'm envious. What a place to be in. And to be able to be, she was broken and tore down and said, I ain't got anything but God. Oh, what a place to be in. Nothing but God. I'm going to tell you, the Lord blessed her too. And he cried more, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. He calleth thee. You know, in the Bible, I don't know how to answer it, because if you do, or there's theology for it, I mean, maybe there's some answering in it. But, you know, the Lord did a lot of different things that kind of would make me scratch my head about why he done what he did when he did. Elijah could have came out of his dwelling and said to Naaman, you've made the journey, ask your faith is, so be it to you, and touch him and been done.
That's it.
But he didn't.
That's
true. What was God doing?
He was humbling Naaman's.
That's right, Brother Carl. He was dealing with Naaman on what Naaman could get and what blessed Naaman. So here comes a blind man. The guy's blind, Jesus. Can't you walk a little further to him? Yeah, but yet he didn't. Others he did. Others he did. But he called him to him. Some he said, thy faith has made thee whole. Others he made mud out of spittle. What did he do that for? But in each situation, he dealt with the needs of the person that was there. That's only God can do. Well, you come to me and say, Brother Marty, I really want to go to heaven. But I have this physical condition and I'd like for it to be healed. What? I'd have to say like this guy done. What, are you trying to cause a fight with me? I don't know whether you need to be sick or healed. If I could heal you, I wouldn't know the best thing for you. But God does.
Amen.
God knows how to work it all. You know, God, I am convinced, has left people with afflictions on their body their lifelong and checked it. He put brother Jim White had a cancer start on his face, on the side of his face, right there on his cheek. That thing started growing. He had a doctor friend that was in the army with, and that doctor friend told him, said, Jim White, I'm going to take that off of you. And he said, no, you're not either. You're not going to touch that. And then he started telling him that on your face, and it's going to eat off and what it was going to do. And he said, I'm trusting the Lord. And it got real bad, and that thing got up in, and that old eye was all red, and oh, it looked horrible. Just looked horrible. And then the Lord said, that's enough. And the thing stopped. And then it dried back up. And then he'd go a while and that thing would flare up a little bit and remind him. And then he'd go and the Lord says, that's enough of that. And it stopped and dried up. You know, he had that thing for like 17 years and doctors telling him it was going to eat his face off, and it stayed right there. And when he died, it was hardly noticeable. There was just a little bit of a scab there of that cancer. You know what God said? Jim White, you need a reminder that you're mortal and this thing can kill you. And that was always there. Every time he looked in the mirror, there it was, right there on his face. Reminding him always how much he needed God to keep that thing in check. That thing could have done anything. But God did that over and over. God deals with our life. He dealt with this man. This man needed help, and he went to find help, and he found help. God unwrapped his package for him and gave it to him. Exactly what he needed. Exactly what he needed in his life. And I'm going to tell you what this man had. It went beyond the healing. Because the way God did it for him, they tried to get him to deny this. I'm going to tell you something. When you get an experience with the Lord, see, this is what the church of God is made up of. On this rock, I will build my church. It wasn't on Peter. It was on the experience of Christ. It was on the experience that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, in my life. When I find that, and that experience in my life, you can come along and say to me, say, and people say it all the time, oh, that old Christian religion is nothing but a made up fable. Go tell somebody else. You don't need to tell me that, because I've had the Lord do too many things for me in my life to ever doubt that. So this man said, I was blind, and now I see. And you'll never take that experience from him. And when we have that same kind of experience, so I want to encourage us today, at the beginning of this meeting, if the Lord wills, it'll go a whole week. And there'll be opportunity and space that you may see sometime that you've got that old appliance stuck right up on the side and you can't go up or down with it. That there's something in your life that you said, I've wallowed with this thing, I've tried to get it out of the way, I've tried to move it, I've tried to put it in its proper place, and it's still stuck right there.
Amen.
There's one that can help you.
Amen.
And when he comes by, like in a meeting like this, and jumps out to put the shoulder to it, don't turn him away. But welcome him and say, thank you, neighbor. I need help. Lord, I need help. I think sometimes, and I don't know what the reasoning is, sometimes it needs inspiration, I understand that. But I've seen over the years a tendency sometimes of God's people to not get the help that's available for them. I'm going to tell you something right now. When I get in need, I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to call the saints for prayer. When it gets to a certain point, I feel like we can pray. We got the privilege of prayer. I feel like the Lord answers our prayer. But I'm going to tell you, there comes a time, and my wife can verify this, there comes a time in our life when things get to a certain point that we say, forget it all, that I say, call somebody. Start calling somebody. Start importuning the Lord for me. Help me. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to help me with this. We get to a certain point when we're afflicted, we start calling somebody. When we get in a certain battle where it gets too hot, I start calling somebody. Because I need help. Just recently I felt like, and we go through these times, I felt like I went through a real time in my mind getting everything right. So you know what I've done? I told the congregation at home, pray for me. This is where I'm at. You know why I said it? Well, for one thing, it's reality, so why not? We're all battling stuff. We're all fighting the devil. It's not. There's no shame, is there? And the fact that I come to you and say, I'm in a battle. I'm fighting the devil. You ought to say, well, good. I wish more people would fight the devil instead of going along with him.
That's right.
I'm in a battle. I need help. I need help. I'm stuck up on the rung, and I need help. You pray for me. I need the Lord to come by. I need the Lord to lift this load for me. Get me out of this place. Got a place in my mind. I don't have victory. I don't have the victory like I ain't been talking the way I should. I don't have the attitude I should have. I don't have what I should have in my life. Is it wrong for me to say that? I'm in a battle. I need some help. Lived for the Lord a long time, traveled a lot of miles, preached a lot of things. You might say I've been honorable, I've been good with the Master. But I run into things I don't know how to handle. Don't know how to handle them. And there's one there that's got my answer my package. You know, after I told the congregation that, I felt like I started improving. You know, after I told, have testified and confessed the fault and confessed that I need help, you know, I started doing that, and I started, it seemed like I immediately started getting grace to help me. Immediately started having more victory in my life. Today, as this meeting goes forth, let's be open to the workings of the Lord. And if there's places of unforgiveness, if there's place, you know, I wish this tent was full of the community around about and people that don't know the Lord. I wish it was, but it's not. Today it's not. I hope it is later. But you know what? We're going to have to go to heaven. We need to go to heaven and we need help from the Lord. So today, in the words of Brother Gordon, the Lord can help us. You pray for me.